Good morning.
Good morning.
We have two scriptures today, and if you'll turn to Hebrews and John, we are beginning a series in the book of Hebrews, and we're going through the whole book, and we will be all over the universe by the time we get through. For those of you who are newer in the Lord, it will give you a lot of grounding, but there will also be plenty for those who have walked with the Lord for years. We will only take part of the first chapter today. The title of today's message is He is Not Silent. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This book was written early in the life of the church after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is believed that it was written before 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. So it is a very early book, Matthew being most likely the earliest. It is written to the Hebrews. It's written to the Jews, where much of the New Testament is written to non-Jews, to Gentiles who were coming to Christ. This book is written and has many references to the Old Testament for the Jews in order to convince them that Jesus is their Messiah. In so doing, there are many, many rich things that we'll find as we go through it. So in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, I want to begin. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His presence, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is a mouthful, and it is filled with just so much stuff, glorifying Christ and lifting Him up, and we'll come back to that in a moment. I want to begin again by saying what I said is the title. He is not silent. He is not silent, and this is the heart of the message today for you. He is not silent. He is not distant. You may feel that He is distant to you, but God is not distant. God is not withdrawn. He is not hiding Himself. He has not been muzzled as though He cannot speak. You may read stories from the Word of God where someone hears God speak clearly and acts upon it, and you say, well, why isn't it like that today? You may even say sometimes, you may be saying right now in your own life, oh, if I could only hear God speak. If I could only hear God speak on such and such matter. Lord, if You would just speak to me. These verses tell us that God did speak and that He does speak. And that's what I want to unfold for us this morning. It's more of a teaching than a sermon. But God is not silent. He is not silent to you if you desire for Him to be in communication with you. He is not an idea. He's not an ideology. He's not a theory. He's not a formula of faith that you work in order to get something. He's not a concept that man has come up with. He is a personal God. He is person. And what I mean by that, we say that God is a person. He is altogether different from us, and yet the definition of personhood is that someone must have personality, thought, feeling, emotion, all of the things that cause us to be a person. God is. Our bodies do not make us a person. I don't know if you know that. Our bodies give us corporeality, which it means that we exist in a body. But that is not what makes us a person. A person exists because of ideas, thoughts, feelings, communication, the emotions, the things that we are, that God has put within us because we are made in the image of God. We did not create God in our image. He made us in His image.
Amen.
So He is a personal God. He is a Father to be listened to be understood, and to be responded to. So we see here two ways in which God has spoken, and we find them summed up in the beginning of this. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past. Now, this was written at the very beginning of the New Testament, so He is speaking of the Old Testament. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, this is the first way, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So I want us to take those two things for a few moments and look at how God has spoken and how He is speaking to us. How He is speaking, to us today. So number one was in the prophets or by the prophets or through the prophets. In the prophets, by the prophets, or through the prophets. In the Old Testament, I want you to notice something specific that this says. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. God didn't just speak to the prophets. This is important, and you'll understand why in a moment. God spoke through the prophets to the fathers. In other words, God was communicating something to all of the leadership. These are the fathers. To the men and the elders and the leaders of Israel. He spoke it through the prophets so that it would come to the fathers, and the fathers would then dispense it and disperse it among all the people. So therefore, God was speaking not only through the prophets to the fathers, but as we know from the Old Testament, He's speaking to all the nation of Israel, right? So His word is coming through the prophets, but it's to the fathers and to all the people of Israel. We'll see why that's important in just a moment. He used the prophets and spoke to them, yes, but it was to the fathers who would dispense it. Secondly, we said He has spoken. He speaks today, and He spoke at the time that Paul was writing this. He has spoken to us in these last days. Now, these last days means from the time He was resurrected until the time that He comes again. So we are living in the last days, as was the Apostle Paul. These last days, in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. I want to go back for a moment. Before, it was through the prophets, to the fathers, and we know that all of the Word of God is for us, right? So the Old Testament, what the prophets spoke through the fathers to all the people is also for us. So when we go to those pages of the Old Testament and we see what God spoke to Israel, He has also spoken through that to us. What He spoke in Genesis, He has spoken to us. What He spoke in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through, He has spoken to us. And I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to understand that the living voice of God came through limited few in the Old Testament, but it was for them, for the people, and it was for us, and it was God speaking. We'll come back to it. Now in the new covenant, and the entire book of Hebrews is telling us that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. In the new covenant, God comes Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. God comes in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He doesn't just speak to the apostles, but He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, and He speaks to us through the word that the apostles have written down, and we will unfold that as we go along. So let's look at this contrast for a moment. Jesus is not just a prophet. He is far better. He is God in human flesh. He has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He's not just a prophet. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets to the people. In the New Testament, He has come Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, that He might commune with man, that He might speak to man. Islam claims that He is just a prophet. Now you'll hear people today say, oh, we worship the same God, as the Muslims do. We worship the same God. Allah is the same God as Jehovah God of the Old Testament, because both trace their ancestry back to Abraham. I want to tell you, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. God is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion the same as Allah. And in Islam, we are taught, or they are taught, that Jesus is just a prophet. He is not God. But in the Word of God, He is God. So how could He be Allah? How could God be Allah if Allah in Islam does not take on human flesh and does not come as a man and declares that the one who claims that He was God, Jesus Christ, was just a prophet? Two entirely different gods, one true and one false. Jesus is the express image, we read. He is the express image of God. He is the manifest glory of God. He is the living Word of God to man. Everything He has spoken, I don't know that I can convey this today, but I'm hoping you get a glimpse. Everything that Jesus Christ has spoken, done, and everything that He is God's Word to us.
Amen.
Everything about Him is God's Word to us. He is the expression of God to mankind. When I say, oh, God needs to speak to me. God, if You would just speak on this matter. If You would just, if I could just hear God speak. Am I really saying, listen closely, am I really saying, hold up your Bibles for a moment. Am I really saying that I have exhausted everything that He has revealed in this, that I have gone through it in the light of where I am right now, asking God to speak to me, that I have sought Him in this Word, and I have exhausted everything Jesus has to say in it, and it's still falling short? And some of you, I know what some of you are thinking, and we'll come to it in just a moment. But am I really saying that I have searched the written Word, meditated on it, and received everything that God has to say to me? Now you may say, what about the role of the Holy Spirit? What about when I need direction concerning something that's not in the Word of God? When I need to hear, like Elijah did, the still small voice of God. I want you to keep your place there, and I want you to turn to John. Let's just look at the role of the Holy Spirit for a minute. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is before Jesus was crucified. He's speaking to the disciples, giving them many final instructions. Chapter 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, and He's just been talking previously about the Holy Spirit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. This is Jesus speaking. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He, who is He? The Holy Spirit, will take of Mine and declare it to you. Now what do we get from this passage of Scripture? What do we understand from this? All things, what does it mean when it says all things that He hears, the Holy Spirit? All things that He hears from Christ, He will make known to us. Let me tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit, whom we will be looking at later. The Holy Spirit is wonderful, marvelous, and an integral part of your walk with God. If you have a walk that is void of the Holy Spirit, how do you even commune with God? It's through the Holy Spirit. But we separate them too much. And the Trinity is a great mystery that I don't even want to try to go into this morning. But let me say to you that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ. He's also the Spirit of the Father. And this is the way that this works, is that everything that the Holy Spirit does in us is not to elevate the Holy Spirit, not to glorify the Holy Spirit. It is to glorify Christ. He is the agent that lives within you that reveals Christ to you. You would not know Christ this morning. You would not have received Him by faith. Your eyes would not have been opened to the truth of the gospel had the Holy Spirit not been working on you. And when you received Christ, He came to dwell within you, unlike the Old Testament prophets and people. So He comes to dwell within you, and then He makes Christ real to you. He opens up the Word of God to you so that as you read, you can begin to grow, feed on it, and understand. And when you desire that God speak to you, we'll come back to this in a moment, it's Christ who speaks to you. And Christ speaks to you through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Whether it's Him enlightening the Word to you or whispering to your heart in accordance with the Word, as we will see in a moment, it's the Holy Spirit. He indwells the believer and makes known to the believer what Christ is speaking to the heart. Can I say to you this morning, in case anyone here doesn't really know, there is such a vast difference between the person who has the Spirit of God and is born again and the person who is void of the Spirit of God, who is not born again. We come to church and we sit together and we kind of assume that everyone is saved. Let me tell you something. The person who has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them looks at things a different way than they did when they were in the world. The person who has the Holy Spirit within them, yes, will still fail many times and fall. But when they fall, they are convicted by it, and it grieves them, and they long to be clean before the Lord, and they come in repentance that Christ might cleanse their hearts so that their fellowship might be restored. Let me tell you something. If you can't tell that you're any different than just anybody else out in the world, if you can't tell that you're any different than you were before you believed in Christ, something's wrong. The Spirit of Christ makes a person fundamentally different, not perfect and not better than, but fundamentally different. You have different equipment inside of you. You have something in you that causes you to love God, and your views of things begin to change. The way you look at other people changes. The way you think about your future changes. The way you view the Word of God changes. Because the Spirit of God within you is the one who reveals Christ to you, causes you to love Him, draws you to love Christ. And you will not be the same person if you're born again and the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of you. And so it tells us that, first of all, He will take from the Word of God. He will take from the Word of God, which is the Word of Christ, Old and New Testament, and use it to speak to your heart. I know some of you have heard me say this before, but let me reiterate this. The Word that you hold in your lap is a living language. You say, what do you mean by that? This is the language of God. The Holy Spirit inspired this and brought to pen to paper in the hands of men, but that they would write down, let me say it this way, the very thoughts of God. The very thoughts of God. You're not reading, though you will see the personality of some of the writers, because God doesn't turn them into a robot to write His Word. So His Word comes through Paul, and His Word comes through the Old Testament prophets. And you see their personality, and their likes and dislikes and things about them revealed in it. Nevertheless, it is the living thoughts and words of God Himself, all pointing towards Jesus. The whole book from Genesis to Revelation is penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus Christ to your heart. And when we read this, we're reading the Word of God, and it is the language that God speaks. Why am I saying it that way? This is the language God speaks. If you don't put this language within you, how will you hear God speak? Amen. If you don't know the thoughts of God that He has already spoken to you and penned for you, how will you know if a thought that you're having that you think may be God is really God, or if it's your own desires, it's your own flesh, it's your own thoughts? You have to fill yourself, just as me in learning Spanish, I have to fill myself with that language in order for it to become something that comes out of my mouth and is real and that I think in it. You have to fill yourself with this language in order that you might bring forth the truth that God is speaking to your heart. The Word is God's language, and therefore feeding on this Word and studying this Word throughout your life is of vast importance. If you're sitting here today and you say, well, why doesn't God speak to me? But you've never filled your heart with this Word. That is the beginning foundation of learning to hear God speak. You say, and I'll explain it, but I want to hear God speak supernaturally. I want Him to speak something to me about what color I'm supposed to wear today, or some nonsense. I want Him to speak to me about this new job. That's not nonsense. I want Him to speak to me about this or that or the other. But you've not learned to hear His voice in this Word in the most basic of things that He speaks. You don't have the language of God, the thoughts of God, and the tuning, the fine tuning of your spiritual ears to begin to hear what God is saying to you on things out here and out here. You are a reservoir. I cannot stress this enough. We say two things that seem to be contradictory, but I have found that they're not. Because we say, speaking of the Spirit and the Word, you can't sail today's ship on yesterday's wind. How many of you have heard that? Can't sail today's ship on yesterday's wind. You need the fresh Word of God. And you need the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit every day. And that's true. But in spite of that, I'm here to tell you there's something so important that you fill up this reservoir. Year after year, as you grow in the Lord, you keep adding and filling and adding and filling and adding and filling. And I'm not talking about end times or persecution today, but I want to just give you an example. For what does a person do when they're stuck in a jail cell for 10 years and they have no Bible from which to get a fresh word or fresh filling every morning? They have to have a reservoir of the Word of God. And if they have a reservoir of the Word of God, He is able to bring up that Word to their mind, to their memory, to their thoughts, and to speak words of encouragement and direction and comfort to them. And that is supernatural. When God speaks to you and whispers to you and encourages you, and you think, but I wasn't reading the Bible and it wasn't Scripture, that is no more supernatural, and it does happen, than when you are reading the Word and He speaks something to you in His Word. That is supernatural as well. And so you fill up the reservoir with the water of the Word, and in times of the Holy need, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. So everything God has spoken is available to fill up the reservoir. To fill up the reservoir. What He has spoken will never change. This is important. It's true today. It's true. It was true yesterday. And it will be true forever. Not only that, let's look at His ability to back up His Word and make good on His promises. Look at verse 2. It says, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. He has been appointed. Jesus, the Bible says, has been appointed heir of all things. What does all things mean? All things. When Jesus was resurrected and He ascended and was seated at the right hand of the throne of God, The Father turned all things over to Him. These may seem like doctrinal things that don't matter. Oh, they matter greatly. As we go through this book, if the Lord would use me to do anything, it would be for you to be even more astounded at the greatness of Christ. Amen. That is my number one desire when I preach, is that you would see Christ revealed and glorified and lifted up, and you would be even more amazed and more in wonder and awe of the Son of God. When He was resurrected and seated on the throne of God, the Father turned all things over to Him, gave all authority to Him. All things belong to Him. He inherited them. Listen, you want to hear God? I want to make this very clear, because sometimes we're nebulous about this. It's vague. You want to hear God? You must go to Jesus. You must go to Jesus. God speaks through Jesus. Jesus speaks by His Spirit and His Word. But it's through Jesus, the Son. In times past, He spoke the way sometimes we really want Him to speak. Oh God, just let me hear You audibly. He spoke that way to the prophets many times. But He says it's even better when Jesus Christ lives in you. God has come to live in you through His Son, and He is there to speak to you all the time and for you to draw from His Word all the time as you need it. Amen. You want provision from God? You go to Jesus. Amen. You want answers to prayer? You go to Jesus. Amen. You want His promises to be upheld in your life? You say, but You promised this. It's Jesus that upholds the promises in the Word of God. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. You think this world is out of control? You look at the news today and it's chaos and it's discouraging. Beloved, let me tell you, nothing is out of control.
That's right.
When there's a war, many times before a war comes to a complete end, there is a victorious, decisive battle. And everybody says that's the battle that won the war. But it doesn't mean there weren't skirmishes that continued sometimes for a long time afterwards. And at some point, all the skirmishes are ended and it's all put down. And then the victory is brought to bear upon everything. But it was done at the decisive battle. The cross of Calvary is the decisive battle in which Jesus Christ has won victory and is in dominion over all things. And there are skirmishes going on all over this world as Satan is still in rebellion against the one who has already won the war. He is in control. Jesus is in control. And one day when He finishes with all of the skirmishes and He puts all down, all things will be completely brought under His holy subjection and His righteous kingdom will prevail. All water, all fire, all wind, all energy, all natural resources, all ownership, all nations, all military might, all buildings, all governments, all viruses, all diseases, all bacteria, all angels, all demons, all spiritual and material things, they are under His ultimate control. And let me clarify something else for you, even though this is not about the Trinity. God did not take a man and anoint that man and adopt that man to be the Son of God and raise him up in glory and put him on the throne. He didn't take a man and turn him into the Son of God. Christ existed from eternity past in the Father. God Himself came and took on human flesh. He is the God-man because He came in human flesh. But He's not a man who got special treatment from God and was elevated. He is God. And He is God's plan for mankind from the very beginning. And He came and He suffered and He died and He ascended. And now there's a God-man on the throne of heaven. Jesus, as Son of God, always existed as God. Came into the world and now is exalted. Therefore, verse 2 says, through whom also He made the worlds. Through whom He, the Father, through whom He also made the worlds. Beloved, we are adopted.
Yes.
We are adopted into His kingdom as sons. He is the uncreated Son of God. It is a title, Son of God. These are words, this first section that we're reading this morning, these are words of glorious praise concerning Jesus Christ. Someone should write a song. These verses are like a hymn of praise. My Bible has a subtitle right above it, God's Supreme Revelation. God's Supreme Revelation, and it's all for us. It should blow your mind when you realize that all of the universe, all of the galaxies, the stars, all things created, Jesus is the agent of creation through whom God created all things. He is Lord over all those things, and they are for our eternal enjoyment. Created that man might be God's centerpiece in it. And that He might bring forth, we'll see this later in the book of Hebrews, He might bring forth sons and daughters to Himself, that there might be a family of God. Let me try to rephrase something. The Son existed in the infinity of ages past. He was the agent through whom God created all things. Notice in verse 3 it says He upholds all things by the word of His power. But now, as Christ ascended to the throne and was given the inheritance of all things, it's not that the Father is not equal. It's not that the Father is not important. It's not that we don't love the Father and we don't glorify the Father or anything like that. But the Father has stepped behind stage and He has put His Son in the center of the stage. And He has said, look to Him. All things you need are in Jesus Christ. All answered prayers are in Christ. All of the love of the Father is in Christ. He is the agent of creation, and He is the one mediator between the Father and mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to God the Father, and we love Him as Father, but our approach to Him is entirely through the Son. If we pray to the Father, we're to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We come through the Son in order to have access to God. The Son has all authority of access to God. God speaks through His Son, and the Son speaks by His Word and by the Spirit. Beloved, I want you to notice that He records that He was made heir before saying, through whom He made the worlds. It looks like He'd say, through whom He made the worlds, then He became heir in order of time. And I think He gives you the second point first, or gives you the first point second, I should say, just to give you understanding, because for us, just follow me for a minute, it'll sound like double talk. For us, what matters most is the first part. The first part. He has been made heir of all things. In other words, the past, He is the agent of creation. The past helps us understand the present and the future. But the future is what matters most for us. Just bear with me. In other words, what is ultimately at stake in our lives is how the future goes, not how the past went. Some of you need to grab that and run with it. Paul said, forgetting those things behind, I press on towards the high calling of Christ Jesus. What matters to us is the future, not the past. What matters to us is what God has for us for eternity, not what we did in the past. What ultimately is at stake in our lives is how the future goes, not how the past went. Some of you need to let go of the past. The future is where I will live with Christ eternally or not. How did He come to be heir and have all authority? The second part of verse 3 says, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I was thinking about this, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed to the Father. He prayed to the Father and cried out in agony. And yet it was He who went to the cross, who submitted to the will of God and went to the cross and was obedient and took our sins. It says here, by himself he did it. And you say, well, he had to have help from the Father. No, the Father sent angels to strengthen the Son of Man, the part of him that was humanity, in the Garden of Gethsemane. But listen closely to me. Jesus himself said, I have power to lay down my life and to take it up again. By himself, he bore our sins on the tree. What a mighty God we serve. He is the heir because of Calvary. He died, he rose again to redeem to himself a people and to destroy sin, Satan, and death, and everything that could and would make us miserable. Another thing for you to think about. Everything in your life, everything that could and would cause you misery, he died to redeem you from that.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is God's final word to man, the Bible says. It doesn't mean he stopped speaking, but it's all in him. He is God's final word to man. Everything you need to know, everything you will ever need to know is in him and comes through him. The more you fill the reservoir, this is what I'm stressing this morning. The more you fill the reservoir with the Word and the Spirit, the more you will know his thoughts and his guidance, his direction, and his purpose for your life. Now, God may whisper guidance and direction directly to your spirit, not necessarily quoting the written Word of God. He speaks in a still small voice. But I want to give you a principle here before we close today. He never speaks, you know this part. He never speaks inconsistent or in violation of what he's already spoken in the written Word. Amen? He never speaks inconsistent with what he has spoken in the Word, so much so. Well, this is what I want you to hear. So much so that most often he will frame it in such a way that it will reflect his written word. I'll give you an example. 22 years ago, the Lord spoke to our hearts, spoke to us to go to a place we had never dreamed we would go. Never been past Oklahoma. And the Lord spoke Arizona. Was that in the Bible? No, that wasn't in the Bible. But you know what was in the Bible that he brought to us? God told Abraham. You see, there was a time that we were saying, we don't even know where we're going, we just know we're going. God told Abraham, he said, get up, leave your family, leave the place of your ancestors, and go to a land that I will show you. And then in time, God showed him where that land was. And he repeated the same thing in our lives. He said, it's time for you to get up and go. I'll show you where you're going to go. And then he whispered the word to us, where we would go. But it was consistent with what he does in a life, in the Word of God. And there was even the pattern in the life of Abraham as we embarked on that journey. And so he will do that. In fact, I can't imagine anything that God would or could speak to you today that would not be backed up by something in the Word, some example, at least some principle, some event, or some calling of God. This thing is so rich and so deep, you will never exhaust it in your lifetime. And in every element of your life, every time of your life where you need direction and guidance, the more you have filled the reservoir, the more you will have the thoughts of God that he will draw up and he will give you guidance. And if he says, go to work for Discount Tire, you say, but that's not in the Bible. There is something in the Word of God about him telling a man where to go work. It will be consistent with the Word of God.
Amen.
Stay close to the Word of God because it is the living Word of Christ, who is the living Word embodied. So you fill the reservoir. And this also is important. This is a warning. You don't arrive at what you think God is saying in your own mind or what you hope God is saying and then go searching for something that will back it up. Because you can find something to back up just about anything. And the next thing you know, you'll be telling the church that God told you to marry three wives. Or to leave this one and go, or send this one away like Hagar. Or some such nonsense that violates the principles of the Word of God because you've not filled your heart with the whole Word of God and desiring to be obedient to it. So don't go speaking that God spoke to you something because of something the Word says, but you're not willing to be obedient to what all of what His Word says, to the guidelines for your life. But fill your reservoir with the living Word of God so that He can pull up what is needed in order to reveal His will to you. Amen? Let's stand.